Welcome to Passion Church. For more information about Passion Church, please visit us online at www.passionchurch.tv. Now let's join the service already in progress.
I got to be with you was the last Sunday of 2017, and I started a series on that Sunday called Tune In. And I began to talk to you about the fact that, at least for me, it may not be true for you, maybe it was the loudest year of your life, but for me, 2017 was a pretty quiet year. And when you contrast that with the fact that Scripture talks about this, that we live off of every word that is proceeding, it's an ongoing eruption of God speaking. We live on every word that continue. The concept there is that He has spoken and that He continues to speak. We live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So it's apparent that we need to hear God. We need to be able to hear God. And so what I wanted to do is to start this year, end the year and start the year by trying to talk to you about how to hear God. That we need to tune in. That we need to lean in. It is absolutely essential that we learn how to hear God. I'm going to prove it to you this morning. Real early on in this message, I'm going to prove to you that it's absolutely essential that you know how to hear the voice of God. Turn in your Bibles, if you have it, to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to begin in verse 1 verse 13. Another illustration of this need to tune in. Just an interesting thing that happened to me. A week and a half into my trip in Israel, we had an Israeli guide whose name was Ronan. He's an unbelievable guy. We ought to be ashamed, by the way, because they know so much of their Bible and their history, and we know nothing. It's unbelievable the amount of information they have and that they know. He'd start the day off, shalom, shalom. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ronan. I will be your guide. He did that every day. It was funny. But by about a week and a half in, we went to a site that was completely packed. I mean, it was on Friday. The Muslims come to the Temple Mount to pray. 100,000 Muslims come to the Temple Mount to pray on Fridays. And, I mean, it is congested. And there's 57 of us on the trip. And Ronan's at the front, and he's leading us. But there's so many people in the streets. The streets are about this wide right here. And they're all walking. And I hear Ronan say, GTI, follow me. Can't see him, but I can hear him. And after a week and a half, I recognize his voice. And in a crowd of thousands of people, I can distinguish his voice and follow. Okay? That's how we've got to become this year, is that we become so familiar with God's voice that He can say, Tari! And we, yes, Lord. And we follow. Okay, so we're going to try to help you. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. After all this, God tested Abraham, and God said, Abraham, yes, answered Abraham, I'm listening. Key phrase. He said, take your dear son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I'll point out to you. So Abraham got up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young servants and his son Isaac. He had split wood for the burnt offering. He set out for the place that God had directed him. And on the third day, he looked up and saw the place in the distance. And Abraham told his two young servants, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I are going over there to worship. Then we'll, that's another key phrase, come back to you. That's faith right there. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and gave it to Isaac, his son, to carry. And he carried the flint and the knife. And the two of them went off together. Isaac said to Abraham, his father, yes, my son, we have flint and wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? Abraham said, son, God will see to it that there's a sheep for the burnt offering. And they kept on walking together. They arrived at the place to which God had directed him. And Abraham built an altar, and he laid out the wood. Then he tied up Isaac. By the way, Isaac is not this like 4-year-old little kid. He's a grown man. In that culture, he was a grown man, and Abraham is very old. Think You know the story. Abraham was old when he was born. Now he's even older. Isaac could have fought back. So there's another element there that we're not even going to deal with. That was for free. He tied up Isaac and laid him on the wood, and Abraham reached out and took the knife to kill his son. Just then, an angel of God called to him out of heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, yes, I'm listening. Don't lay a hand on that boy. Don't touch him. Now, I know how fearlessly you fear God. You didn't hesitate to place your son, your dear son, on the altar for me." And Abraham looked up, and he saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. And Abraham took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Before we get real deep in this morning, can I just give you this for free? This one doesn't cost you anything. It is absolutely imperative that you learn to tune in and hear God's voice clearly, because if you don't, there is a potential most of us will kill and destroy our own destiny and promise if we don't hear God. I just dropped bombs on you and you didn't even know it. If we're not careful, if we don't learn how to hear God, we will self-sabotage. We will jack our own lives up to the point that we forfeit the destinies and the promises of God simply because we haven't learned to hear Him when He calls our name. I've learned some lessons. There's some lessons out of this account I want to share with you. God has established a pattern early on with Abraham. You know the story. The Bible says that God speaks to Abraham. Abraham was living in a pagan land. God calls him by name and says, "Come out from among them and follow me to a land I will show you." Right? Thanks a lot. I will lead you to a land I will show you. Abraham obeys. He gathers his family members, his crazy nephew Lot, and they all start on this journey, right? We know that part, okay? Then we come to this part of the account. So now God comes speaks to Abraham and says, "Abraham, take your son Isaac and go to a mountain where I will point it out to you." All right, so let me help you. They start on a week-long journey. We walked part of this journey. The average Israelite in that time could walk somewhere between 20 and 26 miles a day. That's where we get the concept of a marathon. They could travel 20 to 26 miles a day. So they start on a week-long journey at walking 20 to 26 miles a day to a mountain that I will show you. Okay, y'all haven't got it yet. Then to make it even more obscure, he doesn't inform him ahead of time that he's actually going to make provision so that instead of actually killing your son, I'm going to provide a ram for you. So here's Abraham on a week-long journey, not really sure what's going to happen and not even sure where he's going. Okay, that doesn't bother some of you. Here's the lesson. I have discovered, and I can tell you from this account, that God tends to broadcast. Okay, you say, "What are you talking about? What do you mean?" It shows us that God tends to give us, listen to me carefully, directions, but not details. Okay, and there's a rub there for me. Okay, because if y'all haven't figured this out yet, I'm a details guy. I am like anal. Okay, I want all of the details ahead of the time. I want everything lined out exactly how it's supposed to be. I am not spontaneous at all. Okay, there is not a spontaneous bone in my entire body. I want every waking second, nanosecond of my day planned. That's why I have lists. Thank you, Mom. That's why when we go on vacation, I do not have like empty days on vacation. Before we leave the house, I've got to know that on the Tuesday of the vacation, we're going to wake up at 8 a.m. and at 8:05, we're going to brush our teeth. And at 8:10, we're going to drink our coffee. And at 8:15, am I playing? She's not playing. Oh, I'm not playing. Okay. I want all the details. When we leave the house to go to somebody else's house, don't tell me I don't know how to get there. I want the map before we leave the driveway. I cannot stand to be lost. I want details. Okay, this does not work for me, all right? Drive 4 blocks, you'll see a brown cow, turn right, and then when you've gone about 4 or 6 miles somewhere, you'll see a white. No! No, I want details. Details, details, details. Well, I wish God would narrow things down, but what I've discovered and what we learn out of this account is that God tends to broadcast. He gives us directions, but he doesn't give us all the details. Does that bother anybody else? Anybody? Okay, thank you. I know who, I'm in light company. Okay. He tends to give us just enough to get us to where we're supposed to be, right? That's what he did with Abraham. I think it's extremely important for us to understand that, but so that as we're trying to tune in, we're careful that we understand that he gives directions but not details, because if we're not careful, when he grows silent on us after giving us directions, then we will make up the details. Okay, y'all don't even talk to me, because this is how I've gotten most of my trouble in my whole life, is right here, as I get a word from God, directions from God, and he didn't give me details, so I fill in the blanks, right? And I mess it all up simply because he didn't give me details. So we got to be very careful that we don't make up instructions and that we don't make up steps in the process, because we need to learn something this morning. I hope you've already learned this. This may not be anything profound to you, but it's profound to me. And that is this, is that we must learn that God will not give us so many facts that it won't require some faith. The Bible clearly states that we walk by facts. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. See, I just wanted to see if you knew the word. The Bible clearly states that we walk by knowing all the details. No, it says we walk by faith. So then what that means is that if he gave us all the facts, there would be no faith required. So God broadcasts and gives us broad directions, and then we have to wait on details as they come. So we have to become comfortable in the knowledge that when we need to know, we will know. Does that bother anybody else? That bothers me. I don't like that about God. The best illustration I have is like when, because since I don't like to get lost, I use GPS, right? Does it bother anybody else that when you start on your journey, the thing talks to you? The nice, polite woman tells you, turn right on 122nd. But then she doesn't say anything while you're going down 122nd. I'm like, come on, lady, you left me hanging. What's next? But then when you get close, like half a mile out, all of a sudden she reappears. Now I want you to turn left on Meridian. Well, dadgummit, why didn't you say something when I left the house? In fact, I push the button now and get turn by turn ahead of time, the overview. So I have some concept, because I don't like the silence in between. But that's how God operates. He says, I'm calling you to something, start walking. As you're walking, he doesn't say anything. We get nervous. We make bad turns. We make bad decisions. But if we would just keep walking at the right moment, at the right time, he would pipe up and say, okay, now that you've done that, now it's time. If we could become comfortable in that knowledge, it would help us. He tends to be silent on the journey until we get to where we need to be. Silence is not permission for you to make up the instructions to make you feel comfortable. Okay, y'all didn't even want me to come back from Israel now. So when he broadcasts, this is what we do. He broadcasts directions. We don't know the details. He just broadcasts directions. This is what we have to do. We start walking. We just start walking. We walk and we keep walking until he gives us the next piece of information that will keep us out of trouble. I've learned that God does this, and I don't like this about God either. There are a lot of things I don't like about God, by the way, just so we know. Just so we're on, okay. I don't like the fact that God has this tendency to orchestrate and allow crisis in our life to develop our ability to have conversation with him. Because if everything was always comfortable, we don't listen very well. But the moment there's crisis. Isn't it interesting when we're facing crisis, all of a sudden we tune in, right? So God allows that sometimes. The second thing I recognize is this, is that tuning requires defying and denying. Defying and denying. Let me explain. When you look at this account, everything that God told Abraham required Abraham to do two things. It required him first to deny logic. And then it required him to deny preference. Okay, let me see if I can help you. What God said to Abraham defies logic. Abraham, I want you to take your only son, the son of promise, the heir, your last hope, the one you've been waiting on, and I want you to take him to some mountain and I want you to kill him. He's your last hope. But I want you to, that makes no sense. But Abraham followed anyway. He defies logic. Okay, the second thing is he denies his own preferences. I find it interesting in the scripture. I want you to see how Isaac was described. Take your only son. This is God talking. Take your only son of promise. Just dig in, God. Whom you love. And kill him. It's like God has stuck in the knife, and with each additional phrase, he's twisting it. You got it? Take your only son, the son of promise, the one you love, and take him and kill. In order for Abraham to follow, he had to deny his own preference. We clean scripture up. Y'all read this story like he wanted to do this. Oh, yeah, I got nothing better to do, God. Let me go kill my son. He had to deny his own preference. This is not what he preferred to do. I wonder how many of us claim that we don't hear God simply because we don't like his logic and we don't prefer his instruction. I'm preaching right now. How many of us over the course of last year and going into this year have actually heard the voice of God, but we ignore it and we dismiss it simply because we didn't like his logic and we don't prefer his instruction? I'm going to say that one more time. How many of us have dismissed the voice of God when he's been trying to beat his way into our life and say, do this, do this, do this. And we say, I don't ever hear from God. I wished I could hear from God. I don't know what's wrong with God. If he would just talk to me, he's already spoken to you. He just said something that you didn't like, the logic associated with it, and you didn't prefer what he told you to do. And we dismiss it and we get ourselves in trouble because we don't want to defy logic and we don't want to deny preference. I just need to remind you this morning that when we're tuned in, there will be some things that God tells us to do that will defy logic. I can't get no help, all right? So like this, here's the instructions. Give. That defies logic, God. You don't even know. I got bills to pay. Like they're going to come get my junk if I don't pay my bills, and you want me to give? That defies logic. And not only that, you want me to give like first to you. Ooh, I knew it would get quiet right there. I should have written down in my notes, we'll get quiet right there. How about this one? Love. What? Do you know what they did to me? Do you know how bad they hurt me? And you're telling me to love? That defies logic. Burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. Right. By the way, that's not in scripture. But that defies logic. You already hurt me. Why would I let you hurt me? Okay. Forgive. How can I possibly forgive? They did that on purpose. They looked at me the way they looked at me on purpose. They rolled their eyes when I walked by them this morning coming into church. And you want me to forgive them? That defies logic. They blasted me on Facebook. They talk and forgive. Trust. How can I possibly trust when when so many people have done me wrong so many times, how could you possibly instruct me to trust? Defies logic. Serve. What? That defies logic. You don't even understand, God. I'm busy all the time. My calendar is like full. I don't have a minute to myself, and you want me to serve? And besides that, nobody will even notice. Nobody will say thank you. I'll ush, and nobody will say thank you for ushing. I'll greet. Nobody will say thank you for greeting. I'll make coffee, and they'll complain that it's too strong. I'll run sound, and they'll say it's too loud. I'll fix the air, and they'll say it's too cold. And the other one will say it's too hot. And nobody will thank me for serving. Why would you give me instructions to serve? Defies logic. But it also calls us to deny preference. If we're going to tune in, we got to deny our own preferences. How about this one? We get this instruction and we don't prefer to do it. Like, attend. I don't prefer to attend. Like, I got other stuff I need to do. Like, the bed feels really good this morning. And the sun's shining and I'd rather do something else. We have to deny preference. I don't want to attend there. I want to go somewhere else. But what if he had told you the instructions were to attend here? Okay. Y'all, some of y'all ready to buy me a new plane ticket? Worship. But you don't understand, God, they didn't sing my song. And I didn't like who was leading. Not my preference, God. If we're going to tune in, we have to learn to deny preferences. It is quiet up in here. I don't prefer this one. What if he gives you instructions to be quiet? What? I got my own opinions. I got rights. Like, I'm an American. Ain't nobody can tell me to be quiet and not express my opinion. I got some opinions, and I'm going to share them. That's my right. It's in the Constitution. Got to be. It's in my, I got rights. I'm going to say everything I think. Well, what if God says no? You will have to deny your own preferences. You don't always have to express your opinion. Okay, all right. And then last, I'm going to move because see, all of us, we long for these ram in the thicket, God intervention, miracle moments. But can I tell you this morning that most of those kind of moments come on the heels of defying logic, denying preference instructions. We all want these miracle moments, but we don't want to follow God when it makes no sense, and we don't want to follow God when it's not doesn't fit our comfort zone and how we prefer him to move. Because we've created God in our own image rather than allowing him to create us in his image, and we want to put him in a box and say, I will follow you as long as you conform to a prescribed, predefined concept of how you will work. And if you'll work like this, I will follow you. But if you don't, it makes no sense, and I don't prefer it. So God must not be talking to me. Okay. I've lost about half of you, so let me just finish you all off. Right here, because there's a third lesson right here in this account that we cannot get away from, and it is this. Tuning in can only be accomplished when we learn to tune out. There's an account in this story, a lesson that may be one of the biggest barriers and hindrances that most of us will face in our ability to hear God. This is the one thing I'm convinced this is the one thing that keeps most of us from being able to hear God clearly. We fast, we pray, we cry out to God, speak to us, speak to us, speak to us, but then we fail this part, and so we don't hear. Abraham, 3 days out, sees a mountain in the distance. Something inside of him says, that's the place. He's 3 days out of getting clear communication from God, and he says to his servants, you got to stay here. He continues on his journey for 3 days, and when he arrives, he's able to hear God clearly. You missed it. Some of us struggle to tune in, not because God isn't talking. We struggle to hear God because we refuse to leave anybody behind. There are some folks in our lives that are way too noisy and nosy, but mainly noisy, and they're distractions, and they are a literal blockade to us being able to hear God. And until we say to them, I have enjoyed your company up to this point, but if I'm going to hear God clearly, I got to stop right here and say, you've walked with me long enough, and I am so desperate to hear God that even though I have enjoyed my time with you, you cannot continue on this journey with me, because although I love to hear your opinion, I value his opinion more, and so I need to leave you behind and walk forward alone to hear God. To hear God, there are some people that you're going to have to leave behind, because as long as they are allowed to stay in your life, you will struggle to hear God. Their voice drowns out his voice. Their opinions override his opinion just simply because they're louder. Some of you are trapped in silence simply because you won't practice separation. Okay, Jesus himself modeled separation. Go back and read through the scripture. I had the privilege of climbing Mount Arbel. It's one of the mountains there in the Sea of Galilee region that many of the historians believe that was one of the mountains that Jesus would climb to pray. And over, over, and over in scripture, it says he would leave them and go into the wilderness and climb a mountain and get all alone and pray. He practiced separation. Not only that, he practiced levels of separation. Because when Jesus is facing the biggest struggle and the biggest test in his life, he takes the disciples with him into a garden. I happened to be in that garden this past week. He walks into this garden and he says to them, you guys stay here. Then he practices levels of separation. He says, Peter, James, and John, you can come a little further. There are some folks in your life that you just got to leave them all the way behind. There are other folks in your life that can continue on the journey for a season, but at some point you're going to have to say to them, there's another level of separation. And if I'm going to be able to withstand the test, and if I'm going to be able to go through what I've got to go through, then even those of you that are closest to me, I'm going to have to leave you behind so that I can hear God. Get this in your mind. Jesus is kneeling down in a garden, looking at the eastern wall, watching the blood of lambs on the Day of Atonement. Hundreds of thousands of lambs being sacrificed, blood running down the wall to the point that that historians tell us that the Kidron Valley would fill with blood and water. He's kneeling in the garden as the perfect lamb, the spotless lamb, knowing that he's getting ready to walk through the sheep gate. Get it? Walk from Bethlehem through the sheep gate. He's going to walk in and lay his life down as the perfect sacrifice, watching the blood come down. And he recognizes, if I'm going to make it through that, I got to be alone. In fact, Peter approaches him, says, you can't do this. And Peter gets put in his place. He doesn't even call him by his name. He says, Satan, I rebuke you. What? Peter's one of his closest friends. But he models separation. If I'm going to do what God has called me to do, I can't listen to you. To tune in, you've got to learn to practice tuning out. Not everybody can go on the journey with you. Listen to me this morning. Not everybody can go on the journey with you. Not everybody should be allowed to have your ear. You don't need to read what they say on Facebook every day. You don't have to read every text they send to you. You don't have to be in bondage to their opinions and their thoughts. If God has said to do something, you need to get alone and hear him. if God could just get some of us alone, we would hear. I just came back to tell some of you this morning that the biggest dilemma some of you face in hearing God is you're never by yourself. Even when you're even when you're the only one in the car, you're not by yourself. Even when you're the only one in your entire house, you're not by yourself, because you won't leave the TV off, you won't leave the radio off, you won't put the cell phone down. And in those quiet moments, if you would get alone, you would discover you're not alone. That God wants to communicate to you, and He wants to give you clear instructions and give you a journey to go on, but He can't do it because you're never alone. I just came back to tell you that in 2018, if it's going to be a year of hearing, then we've got to come to the place where we start walking and keep walking, even when we don't have details. I came to tell you that we got to keep walking when it runs contrary to logic and our preference. And finally, I came back to tell some of you that in order for you to be able to hear this year, to change from a quiet year to a loud year with God, you're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to leave some people behind and say, I've enjoyed your company, but you've come far enough, because I want to hear Him. Will you stand with me this morning? Father, we pray this morning that You would help us learn the things that we need to learn to tune in. God, I don't know everybody's story in this sanctuary at this moment. I know some of them. I know my own. And I can say for me and for some of them that 2017 was a very quiet year. I don't think that was your fault. I think that, Father, we need to learn the lessons that we've talked about today so that we can hear You clearly. God, I'm asking You this morning, I'm asking You to begin to speak to us fresh and new. I sense that You've already started that this morning, that You'd speak to us fresh and new. You would give us instructions. We're not even asking for all the details. As detail-oriented as I am, I'm not even asking You for all the details. I'm just asking for direction. I'll trust You to handle all the facts. I'll just have faith that if You can get me started on the right journey, I'll end up where I'm supposed to be. So I'm praying over my folks today. I'm praying that You would begin to give directions. I'm praying over them that when they become uncomfortable in silence waiting on details, that You would allow them to have the courage and the strength and the guts to just keep walking. Just keep walking. One foot in front of the other until we get GPS coordinates at the next turn. Help us to tune in so carefully that we can hear You say our name and we can respond, I'm listening. God, there are some folks in this room right now I know are struggling with instructions that You gave them maybe even before last year, but the instructions were uncomfortable because they don't make any sense and they didn't like them. They didn't line up with their preference. I pray that You would communicate once again fresh and new this morning, and this morning we would have the faith that Abraham had to deny our own preferences and to defy logic and follow You when You say to go. Father, I pray that You'd point out some folks in our lives this morning that we need to separate from, and I pray that we would have the guts to do it. It's not that we don't love them. It's just that we can't continue to walk with them if we want to hear You. And Father, I just need to say this in front of You and everybody under the sound of my voice. I'm desperate to hear from You. I got some people in my life that I love to hear them talk and express their opinion, and I value their opinion. I value their company. I value the relationship I have with them. But Father, I value You more. I value Your voice more. I long to hear You more than I long to hear them. And if it is required of me to walk away and to get alone all by myself so I can see a ram come up the other side of the mountain and provision be established in my life, then God, I'm willing to walk away until I can hear. I pray that would be true in the lives of the people here today. I ask you to do this in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning, you'd say, Steve, I need God to speak to me. I need directions. I need instructions. I need to know. If that's you this morning, you say, Steve, that's me. Would you do this? Would you just raise your hand this morning and say, and keep it up, I need to hear something from God. I have questions. I thought I wasn't the only one. I need direction from him. I need direction. Just keep it up for just a moment. Father, you see every hand that's up. It signifies that we're saying we need to hear from you. I pray all the other voices, all the distractions would grow very, very quiet. I pray that we would, like on my trip when I heard Ronan's voice, I pray that we would become so sensitive and tuned in and familiar with our shepherd's voice that you could call our name in the middle of the night in a crowded mall over the noise and the blare of a radio. We would hear you say our name. When we get the instructions, even if we don't like them and we don't understand them, we would obey. We would obey. Help us to hear. I pray for every person that raised their hand this morning, Father, that they would find themselves in a season of communication with you unlike any they've ever known. I pray that they would suddenly, it would be like the windows of heaven have opened, and they would suddenly hear you speaking to them every morning, every evening, and they would hear you. Pray that you would accomplish this in Jesus' name. You can put your hands down. If you're here this morning, you say, Steve, I recognize that there may be some people in my life that are blocking my ability to hear God. And I'm asking you to help me pray for the courage and the strength necessary to leave them behind so that I can hear God. If that's you, just raise your hand and pull it right back down. Yeah. Okay. Put them right back down. Father, you saw the hands. We're admitting that there are folks surrounding us that make it hard to hear you. And I'm praying for each person that raised their hand that you would give them the courage and the strength, the guts, the backbone, the determination necessary to walk away, to practice separation, to obey your call, to come out from among, to walk away so that we can hear you. God, I pray that we wouldn't substitute other people's opinions, other sources of noise, other sources of distraction. Instead, we would grow comfortable in being alone with you. And in those alone moments, I pray that we would hear your voice clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Abraham was called to walk. He was given direction, but not details. And he was faithful just to take one step after the other until new directions came. Would you do this with me? Almost like a prophetic act for 2018, declaring before God, I've got direction, so I'm going to just keep on walking until you tell me something new. Would you just right there where you are, would you get out, get somebody out of your way, push them out of the way nicely, don't push them down. Just get enough room to take three or four steps as saying, God, I'm on this journey, and until you tell me something new, I'm just going to have the determination. I'm just going to keep walking and obeying. Would you do that as a prophetic act? Come on. Well, just get a little room. You don't need a lot of room. Just take four or five steps. God, you called me on this journey. I'm just going to keep on this journey. I won't turn to the side till you tell me something new. Nobody's going to distract me and cause me to turn to the right or the left. I'm just going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking. Until, even if I don't get all the details when I want them, I'm going to keep on. Come on, somebody. I'm just going to keep walking. I'm 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 going to keep walking. And then I'm going to keep walking, and then right at the right moment, my GPS, my spiritual GPS is going to go off, and I'm going to hear you say, Steve, and I'm going to go, yes, and you're going to say, turn left, stupid, and I'm going to go, yes, sir, I was about to mess up, but you spoke at the right time. So Father, help us to keep walking. I pray that this would be a year where we would walk faithfully and consistently and steadfastly in the direction that you've called us to. Until we get new details, we'll just keep walking. Would you touch somebody and say, just keep walking, just keep walking, just keep walking, just keep walking.
It's been a privilege to have you join us for this time of ministry. To find more Passion Church resources or to make a donation online, visit www.passionchurch.tv. Remember, you can't live without passion.